Hi, everyone, and welcome back to English For You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
And we're talking about day two of Korean Food Made Simple with Judy Ju, season two. Now, Judy Ju is a Korean-American chef. She has a Korean restaurant in London, and she also has this TV show, Korean Food Made Simple. In this show, she goes to South Korea, and she shares Korean food and recipes with viewers and anybody else, I guess.
Interesting. It sounds like a great show, but I have a bit of a problem with the title, Korean Food Made Simple. I had a Korean friend, and a few years ago, she described to me how you make kimchi, which is one of the most basic Korean foods.
Yep.
It's really not simple.
Okay.
It takes weeks to make kimchi, and it stinks up your whole house. So I would be interested in seeing how Judy Ju explains how to make kimchi. But a lot of other Korean food is quite simple. It's fresh meat, fresh vegetables, barbecued. It's actually probably quite good for you, right? They don't eat a lot of bread or things like that. So that's good for your diet. But there are a few things in Korean food that I'm pretty sure are not that simple. But well, what are we going to be reading about today? Well, we're going to be looking at some of the wonderful flavors that make Korean food unique. And also that bring people back, even if they're not Korean, because this food is just good.
Exactly. So let's read through day two of the article and see what else we're going to learn about Korean cooking.
Reading. Korean Food Made Simple with Judy Ju, Season 2. Doenjang is a significant ingredient in Korean cooking. It's a fermented soybean paste with an odd smell that gives dips, vegetables, and soups a kick. Ju teaches viewers to put doenjang to good use with her special eggplant recipe. It's really easy to prepare. First, cut the eggplants in half and grill them in oil. Next, brush them with doenjang and cook them until their centers are soft. It's a marvelous starter dish because it's the perfect balance of salty and sweet flavors. Plus, it's really juicy. Just follow Ju's recipe and technique, and your dinner guests will surely be impressed with the results. Later, Ju takes viewers to her favorite childhood restaurant in Seoul. She's eager to try the Wangmandu, which is also known as King Dumplings. These giant dumplings were invented in North Korea and really hit the spot on a chilly day. They are served in a hot pot along with beef, mushrooms, and noodles. Although Wangmandu is from North Korea, both North and South Koreans can agree that it's a delicious dish. To learn more about Korean food, follow Judy Ju on her future eating adventures.
All right, the article begins with the sentence that says, Doenjang is a significant ingredient in Korean cooking. All right. Well, yeah, when we talk about international styles of cooking or cuisine, there are often important or significant ingredients that are unique to those things. French food, for example, has a lot of cream or cheese or something like that. Italian food is famous for its noodles and fresh tomatoes and stuff like that. You find these ingredients or these things in a lot of the food. What is an ingredient? It's something that goes into making a food. All right, so we wouldn't really talk about an apple as an ingredient unless it's an apple pie or you're making an apple sauce or something like that. The apple will be added to the apple, will also be added some sugar, some flour,
cinnamon,
some eggs, cinnamon, all sorts of different things. When you have a recipe or those instructions on how to make food, one of the first things you'll read is the list of ingredients, all of the things that you need to make a certain kind of food. They're mixed, they're combined, they're chopped up, they're cooked together, and then you have the food. For example, the list of ingredients for making cookies is quite short.
Yep.
What? Flour?
Sugar, flour, sugar, butter, eggs.
A little bit of salt, maybe.
Yeah.
Chocolate chips.
There you go.
That's about it.
So what is doenjang? It apparently is a fermented soybean paste with an odd smell that gives dips, vegetables, and soups a kick.
Interesting.
Now, if something is fermented, it's where the natural chemicals in that ingredient have been broken down either by bacteria or yeast to produce new chemicals, which can add more flavor or preserve the food or can even make alcohol. Now, you might think, I don't want bacteria and yeasty stuff in my food, but if we didn't have that, then bread wouldn't rise because it's yeast that does that.
Yep.
We wouldn't have, you know, beer or wine because it's yeast that does that.
No
things
cheese.
Like blue cheese. Yeah, cheese needs a bacteria. So not all bacteria and things are bad and poisonous. They won't all make you sick. In a lot of cases, they're actually turning food into something a lot more delicious and with a lot, usually a stronger flavor, like this doenjang.
Very, very cool. And also, this soybean paste gives food different flavors. And also, you can use it in dips. A dip is a certain type of food. Often, it's liquid or soft, and it's used to add flavor, kind of like a salad dressing. Mm-hmm. But you just have it in a bowl, and you take a food and dip it, literally, stick it into the liquid briefly, get a few drops or a few smears of the liquid, and then on your food, and then you eat it all together. Often in Taiwan, when people are eating something like squid or octopus, you'll have octopus that's really just been steamed and cooked a little bit, not a lot of flavor, but the dip that you have on it or next to it will give it the flavor. Often with octopus, they have a dip of soy sauce and maybe
wasabi.
Wasabi, or maybe a few onions floating in the soy sauce, some you know, spring onions. Onions or green onions, and then you just literally pick it up, pick the meat or whatever it is, in this case octopus, up with your chopsticks, drop it in that liquid very quickly, just dip it in, and then eat it. The dip, which is the food is dipped in, gives the food an extra kick, maybe.
Yeah, and to give something a kick means to make it stronger in flavor or give it a bit of extra energy. Now, normally we add spice. Spice gives something a kick, so you kind of feel its power and its energy in these stronger flavors when you eat it. So adding chili sauce will give something a kick.
Interesting. All right. Ju teaches viewers to put doenjang to good use with her special eggplant recipe. So this doenjang can be added to many, many types of food, meat, vegetables, doesn't really matter. In this case, she's using it to make her eggplants extra delicious. An eggplant, it's a type of vegetable. Qieze, I think, is the Chinese for eggplant. It's kind of purple on the outside, soft white flesh, doesn't have a whole lot of flavor on its own. Eggplant is very good, but it's really good at picking up other flavors from dips and sauces, so that's why people like it. You can also use eggplant to mix with a lot of other things to make something delicious, but it's a vegetable that's often cooked, rarely found in just salads, just
raw. No, it's not really a salad thing, because it doesn't really have much flavor.
Exactly.
But it does, as Mike says, soak it up.
Yeah.
Now, this eggplant recipe, we see it's really easy to prepare.
Okay.
So here we get into the recipe,
like
Mike said yesterday, with the instructions.
Let me get my eggplant and knife.
Okay, so first, cut the eggplants in half.
All right.
And grill them in oil.
Excellent.
Now, to grill means to cook food over a grill, which is usually thin metal wires with heat underneath or sometimes above. Now, grilling is usually a healthier way to eat food than frying. That it doesn't involve so much oil, and it the kind of oil drains away rather than frying it, where it just stays in the pan. So sometimes you don't use really any oil. Sometimes it's only just a little bit of oil.
Just paint it on a little bit.
Yeah, something like
brush
that.
Brush it on.
Yeah, now the wires themselves can also be called a grill. So it's the actual wires. It could be the entire cooking device and the verb to grill.
Yeah, when you're barbecuing, you're basically grilling, even at a Korean barbecue, right? You put the meat on the grill. On that metal frame, and that's the grill, and you grill it over an open flame. Next, after you've grilled the eggplant, next brush them with doenjang and cook them until their centers are soft.
I know from experience with eggplants, that doesn't take very long.
No, I'm sure it doesn't. Yeah, you've already sort of loosened them up or softened them up by grilling them. The doenjang dungjang will sort of get absorbed or seep into the meat of the eggplant. Mm-hmm. And then you cook them maybe in an oven or something like that a little bit longer until they're cooked all the way through and the flavors are a little bit more delicious.
Yep. The article says it's a marvelous starter dish because it's the perfect balance of salty and sweet flavors.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So if there's a balance, this is where two or more things are combined so that they're equal and usually they complement each other. They don't take away. They're not really fighting for which flavor is strongest. They match each other. There's not too much of one thing and not enough of the other. It's just the right amount. Okay. We can use it for foods to talk about flavors balancing. It's not too sweet. It's not too salty or it's not too spicy. The balance is really good. So you get a little bit of each thing. We could also say it can be hard for students to find a balance between their studies and their personal lives.
Ah, interesting. Plus, we read on, it says, plus it's really juicy. Okay, yeah, eggplant cooked well can be quite juicy.
Yeah, if you don't cook it for too long, it's still going to have a lot of the water and the liquid in there.
That's right, yeah. So it's going to have a nice consistency or at least a nice feel in your mouth. You don't have to, like, chew through it and it's not super soft like jelly or something like that.
Now, the article then says, just follow Ju's recipe and technique, and your dinner guests will surely be impressed with the results. So following the recipe is fairly easy because you just do what it says. Mm-hmm. Technique is a little harder. The noun technique is a way of carrying out a particular task, especially an artistic or a scientific one. We can also use this word to talk about the skill or ability someone has in a particular area, like a basketball player having great technique or great defensive technique. He's great at defending, a great attacking technique, great at shooting. We could say the artist taught his students several painting techniques. So here, the recipe just tells you what to do, but the technique is knowing how much doenjang to brush on, how long you grill them for, how long you cook them for to make the centers soft, and when to take them out so it's juicy but not too soft. It's just crisp on the outside, not too wet in the middle. All of that, knowing all those things about when to get the food just right, that's technique. And you only learn that really by practicing it and doing it, not just by following a recipe.
It's true. You can learn it by watching a YouTube video, but you won't really be good at it till you've practiced that technique quite a few times and probably made a few mistakes along the way.
Oh, yeah.
But if you do know your technique well, if you're a real master, many people will be impressed with your skill. They'll be impressed with your food, that kind of thing. If you're impressed with something, something makes you go, wow. Something makes you give it respect, all right? So it's something you feel, I can't do that, and I understand that was really difficult and took a lot of hard work, so I'm going to say good for you. I'm going to say well done. I'm going to say, wow, you're amazing. I'm impressed with you. I have a lot of respect for what I've just seen or what you've done.
Okay, next we move on and we see that later Ju takes viewers to her favorite childhood restaurant in Seoul.
Oh, nice.
Now, yesterday we said that she was Korean-American and means that she could be born in America to a Korean family.
Sure, possibly.
But it looks like she grew up in Korea because she's going to a childhood restaurant. Your childhood is the period of life when you are a child. And we often use the word to modify other nouns to talk about things from that period of life. So childhood home, that's where we grew up when we were kids. Childhood friends, the people we knew when we were kids. So a childhood restaurant, this is a restaurant you love to go to when she was a kid, when she was young, living in Korea. Another example could be, these days, I only keep in contact with a few of my childhood friends. I've lost touch with quite a few over the years because it's been a while, but a few I do still keep in touch with.
Yeah, these are the people when you talk about your child, when you're especially quite young, right? We wouldn't use childhood to talk about when we're maybe in high school or college.
Yeah, elementary school,
earlier than that kind of young first stage of your childhood. All right, and why does she want to go to this favorite restaurant there in Korea? It says she's eager to try the Wangmandu, which are also known as king dumplings.
Ooh.
Wow, that sounds really good. Everyone knows what a dumpling is. Generally, if something is a king something, it's just a really big something. Mm-hmm. So this is probably a giant, delicious dumpling. Like Judy Ju, I would be eager to try something like that. If you're eager to do something, you're excited, you're keen, you're enthusiastic. You're like, yeah, 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 let's do it. Yeah, yeah, it's a great idea. Yeah, 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 I can't wait. It's something that really fills you with a lot of excitement. It's probably happening soon or going to happen soon, and you basically can't wait. Think of the way young kids can't sleep before their birthday or Christmas or Chinese New Year, thinking of all the great presents they're going to get. They're really eager to open those presents.
Yeah, and so as Mike mentioned, these Wangmandu are known as king dumplings. If you're known as something, this is to introduce a name that something is popularly called or known as. So it's a name that people are familiar with. So Wangmandu, king dumplings, people will use both names and everyone will know what it means. Hmm. Another example, Dwayne Johnson, the actor, is also known as The Rock from his wrestling days. So people will know him kind of by both names. Now, we can also use the phrase be known as for a longer description to give it a real kind of example of what you can find there. Like Geelong Night Market is known as a great place for seafood dishes.
Oh, okay.
So we're using a phrase here rather than just a name to say what something is known as.
All right. Wangmandu, let's find out about these. It says these giant dumplings were invented in North Korea and really hit the spot on a chilly day. Wow, interesting. So North Korea probably before the Korean War. But they're from the north of the country, as many dumplings in China are sort of come from the north of the country, as opposed to other parts. And it says they hit the spot on a chilly day. Hit the spot, it's a shortcut for you, for us, so let's hit it.
Shortcut for you.
So cold out today.
I know, I'm wearing two sweaters.
I don't even want to go out for lunch.
Well, let's get out of the office for a bit. I know, we can go to the hot pot place down the road.
That's a great idea. A nice hot bowl of soup will really hit the spot. Ow, what did you do that for?
What?
Why did you hit me?
You said to hit the spot.
I didn't want you to hit me. To hit the spot means that something is exactly what is needed at a certain time.
Oh, I'm sorry. To hit the spot means 某物切合需求需要. So, do you still want to get soup at lunch?
Are you going to hit me again?
No.
Okay, then.
Hit the spot, exactly what I need right now. And when it's a chilly day, well, for me, maybe some hot chocolate would hit the spot on a chilly day.
Yeah, chilly means cold. But we usually use the word chilly to mean just a little bit cold. Not freezing like the North Pole or something like that, not many degrees below zero, but just a little bit cold, the kind of day where you'd want to throw on a sweater or take a coat with you, something like that. So in Taiwan, I would not say the winters get cold compared to British winters or certainly Canadian ones.
That's right.
But it does get chilly, so I won't just still walk around in shorts and t-shirts like the summer.
Definitely not. You need a sweater, a jacket. Or something like that.
Another example would be, it's a bit chilly outside, so you should bring your coat with you.
Good advice. All right, so Wangmandu, they're from the north. They hit the spot on a chilly day. It says they are served in a hot pot along with beef, mushrooms, and noodles. Wow, so it's a bit more of a meal than just a few dumplings like we might have here, more as a snack or as a side dish. Here it's in a hot pot along with a lot of other food. When we have something along with, that just means and, basically. So something comes together with or and another thing.
Yep. And here the thing they come along with, these dumplings, beef, noodles, and mushrooms. Now, mushrooms, this is a word that's used for many different kinds of edible, and they're actually a fungus. And we also use mushrooms for the things you can't eat as well in that family.
Yep.
Now, mushrooms have a stem, that's the long bit in the middle, and a cap, which basically looks like it's got a hat on, if you think of a mushroom like that. And these mushrooms, they vary in size and flavor. Some are very small, some are quite big. big. Some have long, thin stems. Some have fat stems. Some have big, wide caps. Some have quite small caps. Now, we usually class mushrooms as a type of vegetable. It's kind of, you find it in the vegetable section of a supermarket.
Right, yeah.
You know, they're usually as part of a vegetable dish if you were having something. Technically, they're not vegetables in the same way that lettuce or cabbage or carrot is. Mm-hmm. They are fungus, but they're basically vegetables, and they're always with the stem and the cap. Here's an example involving our friend and fellow teacher, Erin. She hates mushrooms.
Oh, really?
Because of the way they feel in her mouth when she bites them, and Erin never orders mushrooms in restaurants.
Oh, well.
She just really hates them.
I can't say that she's the only person. I know several people who don't like mushrooms, so that's too bad, because they're actually quite delicious.
I love mushrooms.
All right. Anyways, let's get back to these king dumplings, Wangmandu. Although Wangmandu is from North Korea, both North and South Koreans can agree that it's a delicious dish. Well, that's good. There's been a lot of trouble between North and South Korea. They definitely don't agree on many things, but everyone in the Korean Peninsula will agree. Wangmandu, really good.
Yep. And that brings us to the end of the article. We finish with the sentence, to learn more about Korean food, follow Judy Ju on her future eating adventures. So now it's time to go to today's For You chat question. So the question is, what is your favorite restaurant in Taiwan?
Oh my gosh.
The whole country. And what kinds of dishes can you eat there?
Wow.
What a choice there.
That is a choice. Can I name two?
Yes.
Let's see. Well, one of my favorite would be my local Rutao, my local sort of hot fry place, where you can get lots of tasty dishes for around 100 NT a plate.
Mm-hmm.
Good place to go with lots of, you know, friends and family for a casual dinner. My mom was here, and my wife's relatives took her out to lots of, you know, fancy dinners in hotels to sort of honor her. But my mom's favorite meal was at the local Rutao. She thought it was really good and casual and fun. So that was a good place to go.
Okay. I'm going to name, for completely personal reasons, Opa Greek Kitchen.
Opa
Just
Greek
because,
Kitchen.
Just because I've really enjoyed the food there, and so does my wife. And we went there for an anniversary, wedding anniversary meal once. Just really enjoyed everything that we were given.
Yeah.
And they gave us some extra kind of desserts afterwards.
Nice.
Just because we were, obviously, we spent a little bit of money on an anniversary dinner, so we got bonus food.
Nice.
And we just really, the couple of times we've been there, we've really enjoyed it.
Did they bring out that melted cheese dish?
Set fire to it?
Where they shout, Opa!
Boom, fire.
It's really fun, except when I was, first time I went there, my back was to the kitchen.
Oh, you didn't realize what was going on?
So I didn't see what was going on. I'm just talking to my friend, and all of a sudden the whole restaurant goes, Opa! And
there's give you a bit of a scare.
Flame over my head, and I had a bit of a heart attack. But you're right. Good food and Greek food is not easy to find. So
yes.
Check out Opa. Check out your local place, whatever you happen to like.
Yeah,
support your local restaurants.
There's so many good restaurants in Taiwan.
That's
We could talk about this for hours.
Absolutely.
But we're out of time, so we're going to have to say goodbye. Thanks for listening to us today. I'm Pat for English for You.
I'm Mike.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bon appetit.
Korean Food Made Simple with Judy Ju, Season 2. Dongjang is a significant ingredient in Korean cooking. It's a fermented soybean paste with an odd smell that gives dips, vegetables, and soups a kick. Ju teaches viewers to put dongjang to good use with her special eggplant recipe. It's really easy to prepare. First, cut the eggplants in half and grill them in oil. Next, brush them with dongjang and cook them until their centers are soft. It's a marvelous starter dish because it's the perfect balance of salty and sweet flavors. Plus, it's really juicy. Just follow Ju's recipe and technique, and your dinner guests will surely be impressed with the results. Later, Ju takes viewers to her favorite childhood restaurant in Seoul. She's eager to try the Wangmandu, which is also known as King Dumplings. These giant dumplings were invented in North Korea, a and really hit the spot on a chilly day. They are served in a hot pot along with beef, mushrooms, and noodles. Although Gwangmandu is from North Korea, both North and South Koreans can agree that it's a delicious dish. To learn more about Korean food, follow Judy Ju on her future eating adventures.
Vocabulary Review.
Ingredient. I couldn't make the cake I wanted because I didn't have all the right ingredients. Balance. It's important to maintain a balance between work and home life. Technique. Martina's tennis technique has improved a lot since she began taking private lessons. Childhood. My grandfather likes to talk about his childhood in Europe before he came to the U.S. Chilly. It's too chilly to go swimming today. Let's go jogging instead. Mushroom. My favorite kind of pizza has mushrooms and extra cheese.